Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Courage. That's what this committee is about. Courage.
Courage. Inspired wow. Resolutions, Chad.
All right. Inspire me. Let's go.
I've never been more inspiring than I am every week. Typically every Friday during this segment, but that's fine. You want it on a Thursday? That's okay. We'll just do whatever the big man wants to do. He's in charge around here. Hey, let's celebrate today. It's a big day around this country. I know we're obviously talking about a lot of heavy issues, a lot of things that are terrible in the world, in the country right now. I was looking back at 9/11, Charlie Kirk. But you know what? We do need to remember that it is National School Picture Day, Chad. National School Picture Day. We finally made it again. A day to celebrate getting those little ones dressed up, the hair done, everything perfect as they head out for school that day, hop on the bus, only to end up with some food on their face, snot on their shirt, rolling around in the dirt, grass stains at recess, and in the end have the most ridiculous attempt at a smile on their face anyway for the photographer, so it ruins the whole picture, and we couldn't do anything about it. And then
sounds like you love the process, Dave.
Oh, it's just great. And then, of course, the parents were expected to shell out half of a mortgage payment to get photos for ourselves, to put in an album for the kids, get ready, you know, got to save them for the graduation party that's 10 years down the road. And, of course, every relative needs a photo, you know, 5x10 or 5x7 and 8x10, maybe a magnet picture too. So in summary, we're celebrating the second greatest scam ever pulled on the American parenting public, second only to, of course, the youth sports and activities photo scam.
You're in the area, that's for sure. I think back all those times. Let's not forget the sports and extra curricular photos too.
That's what I just called the biggest scam in America, Chad. Pay attention. Yeah. Come on, stick with me. Yeah. Moving quick, but you got to hang up.
Yeah,
hang
no.
with me.
Yeah, I did. You did sort of say that right before.
Yeah, I really did.
It's a minor point.
Shocking. You'd be thinking of what you wanted to say versus what I would say. That's amazing. I didn't see that from you.
That was pretty bad. I gotta admit that. Huh? You're talking? Wait a second. I'm supposed to pay attention? When is it my turn? They need to have more customized orders, right? Because you got the A, you got the B, you got the C. And more often than not, it gives you way too many pictures or way too many of the sizes that nobody wants.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like you when you show up at a family event. No, don't sit by Dave. You know, the 5x7, who wants to give out the 5x7s? It's either the bigger ones or the real small ones that go in a wallet or a purse. Get the 5x7s. Get out of here.
Whoa.
Dead to me, 5x7s.
No. The 5x7 is perfect. The 5x7's where it's at if you're giving them away.
It's cheaper. That's why you think it's perfect.
Well, that obviously helps. But, I mean, no, but you don't need the 8x10s for everybody. The nice 5x7, especially if we're talking grandparents, if they got several grandkids, you give them all an 8x10. That's taking up the whole place.
Apparently, grandparents in your life don't really like their grandchildren. The grandparents in my life love the 8x11s. Come on.
That's 8x10. Let's get your photos straight. Clearly, you never worked at a Walmart.
Mine are 8x11s. I'm going with it.
Really? Okay. Shocking. You'd try to squeeze an extra inch in there, and we didn't know about it.
No comment.
Let's look at the Vikings' schedule.
Oh.
Specifically.
Got the Falcons this week.
Yes,
let's go,
we do.
Falcon Pride.
Specifically, we're not worried about the opponents right now. The game times over roughly the first half of the season. It's truly amazing. We had Monday night week 1, Sunday night coming up. Weeks 4 and 5 Sunday morning games, 8:30 kickoffs our time. And then you go to week 7, we've got a Thursday night. I would say 7 weeks of football, only 2 of the 7 games played during the middle of a Sunday where the weather can potentially still be not awful through most of October when week 7 is. I would say this is the single greatest schedule of games the NFL has ever provided to Vikings fans.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, the noon start
stinks.
It gets old. It really does.
It's good for about the end of November through the rest of the year.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have the 3 o'clock start if it's just that? In the two Europe games, like you said, the 8:30 a.m., you roll out of bed, boom, they're right there. That's fine. Nighttime games, I'm with you. Too many noon games. Get out of here. Let's mix it up more. Well, with the NFL, I mean, they're pretty much, it wouldn't shock me soon if there's a Tuesday 1 o'clock game. Yeah, they're never going to stop. Wednesday, 4 a.m., and the numbers still would be enormous.
They would be. I'd be awake. I'd be fine.
Yeah, of course you would. You and your fantasy football obsession. Let's pause right here. Leave you more time for the Am I Wrong committee. When we come back, you can obviously comment on the committee and most often their ineptitude. Chiming in, 651-461-9226. Get up, get off your butt, walk around, stretch your body, get that blood flowing, and then every once in a while, go see my friends at Stretch Lab, stretchlab.com. Why not sign up for a monthly rate? Then you can go multiple times, which you need to. You should be stretching every single day. You should stretch if you're a 22-year-old and you're fit. You're in college. You're bouncing around. You're listening to us for a little bit. You should stretch and go to stretchlab.com. If you're 74, you're a loyal listener, I might annoy you, but you still keep listening to CCO. You should go to Stretch Lab if you're a golfer, if you're a runner, pickleball, or if you lay around too much. Trained professionalists who will assess you, talk to you, and make you feel better. 12-plus locations in town, stretchlab.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a bonus, Am I Wrong? The public has been demanding it, like Vikings games, not just at noon. You know, the 3:15, the 3:05, the 7 o'clock Monday night, the 7:20, the European game. So we like to bounce Am I Wrong committee around for the first time. I think it's working out, keeping them mobile. Dave, as usual, is off to a very tepid slow start. We will hope he will pick up. You kind of want to boost your kids. You kind of want to push them a little bit, like the bird out of the nest. So far, you keep falling to the ground. Go ahead. Let's see if you can fly this time.
Yeah, let's see if you can listen to what I actually say and not make it your own argument. That would be good, too. This piece, courtesy,
stop with facts.
KSTP, Jay Coles had it. The Minneapolis City Council considering cutting off-duty police from city-owned parking ramps, trying to save some bucks. Let's focus on the one nugget of information in the story that alarmed the committee most of all. In fact, I was reached out to last night by Dennis, who saw the story, alerted me to it, and thought it was a little bit ridiculous. Talking about, you know, contracts for police, it's getting a little expensive. Maybe this is the way to save some money. But then there's this line. Parking ramps aren't cheap to operate. With an expected 5-year contract for the city of Minneapolis at $182 million.
What?
The committee can tell you this with 1,000, 1,000, 1,000,000% certainty. It does not cost $182 million for the city to operate parking ramps. And if it does, there is a serious problem.
Am I wrong?
We are in the wrong business, which we've known for a long time. But, man, the parking ramp business is a good business to be in.
Big ramp.
Jeez, big. Well, we know this. When you go on with the parking torturers, I mean, the ramps around us, which the two of us, I sometimes, when it's very, very cold, will go belly up. You will never.
No.
But honestly, if you're down there and you stay there for, what would you say, 5 hours or so?
Sure.
What's the minimum? $25? $30?
If you're in the core of downtown, that's probably about right, yeah.
That is a major problem. First of all, it's not real friendly if you're working downtown.
No.
Okay. But you got to put up with, hopefully your bosses can help you out. But it is incredibly expensive, and sadly, because of some of the legitimate safety issues, that we're not going to do this. This is, again, where we're drawing the line. Seems a strange spot, but I get how that part of the story was obscured by the $182 million. Man, oh, man, we got enough of these buildings where nobody's in them. Let's just let them park cars in these buildings. Sounds somehow, good. Some way.
They could start parking cars in this building. That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Run a little skinny thing, some equipment. That's okay. Are you familiar with Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield?
I think they're Ben and Jerry, right?
They sure are, yeah. They used to make ice cream. Started the brand about 50 years ago, a couple decades ago. In fact, back in 2000, they sold the brand. They sold it to Unilever. Saying Ben and Jerry's, they were given the freedom. However, Ben and Jerry's was given the freedom to still pursue its social mission. And they're not complaining, Chad. They're complaining that Unilever has eroded that freedom over the past 2.5 decades, writing in a letter to their parent company, quote, "For several years now, the voice of Ben and Jerry's has been silenced by Unilever, particularly when the brand has tried to speak out about social justice and unjust wars. That is not the Ben and Jerry's that we founded, or the one that we envisioned when we agreed to join Unilever 25 years ago." And to that, the committee says, too bad, you sold out.
Am I wrong?
Every single person who builds up a successful company, whether by themselves or with a number of partners, the same damn thing happens.
Yes.
That you just laid out every single time. Whether it's friends of yours, associates of yours, or you read stories, you nailed it. They gave you some pile of money. And I'm just guessing for Ben and Jerry's, Dave,
yeah,
it wasn't a small pile of money.
Considering every pint goes for about $18.
Yes. Yes, correct. And you also get a parking spot.
Yes.
You get the $18 and you also get involved in the $182 million parking scam. You made the decision.
Yes.
You sold.
And they gave you a quarter century before you finally started complaining about it. That's 24 more years than most people get.
Here's what you get to do. Don't sell the company. Just keep the company, and then you can do whatever you want to do. But I can think of a conversation I had with a friend who has a very successful company and sold it not too long ago. And I said to him, what happens when they tell you we're going to do things different? That won't happen. Guess what happened about 6 months later? They started telling him to do things different.
Amazing.
And he was mad. And I just chuckled. I said, couldn't see that coming, could you?
Yeah. Imagine the owner of the company would want to do things their way.
That is exactly right. All right, we're done. Who's in for Jason?
We've got Corzo in today for Jason. Henry in for you tomorrow.
Excellent. All right. Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks so much for listening. Check out the podcast. Check out the Twitter. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy Corzo. He's next on CCO.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.